use contraceptions, what is, and if they are normal, healthy, what will be shown, let's say after 9 months? The fruit of their union, fruit of the flesh. This natural speaks about the spiritual. You know why some of us do not bear the fruits of the Spirit? Simply because we don't open ourselves to let him, our husband, come into us in union with no contraceptions, no spiritual contraceptions. So the outcome, not in 9 months, but the immediate outcome will be peace, joy, self-control. Bear with me 2 more minutes, please. Matthew 24. Just one chapter before, the one that we just dealt with. In verse 13. But he who endures, he, she, for this matter, yeah, will endure to the end shall be saved. To the end. How shall we endure to the end? And this gospel of the kingdom, the next verse, will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. Which gospel? This. Again, which gospel will be preached? This. Oh, Rami, what are you blah, 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 blahing about this? What? Okay, we know. This is the gospel which is preached on every pulpit, right? Nope. Because you need to take it in context. And you know what the context of this gospel? Persecutions, tribulations, including the great tribulation. No snapping away. Because Israel is still on earth. Welcome to Israel. The one who endures till the end, and the one who preached the true gospel, which is not only prosperity and speaking in tongues and doing miracles, casting out demons and blah, 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 which I told you doesn't impress him so much. But the gospel is endurance. How can you endure difficulties and bumps on the road? How can you do it for God's sake? By following one woman's example. With this we end, I promise. Luke 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it happened, as they went, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Look at me. How many of us present in this building accepted Yeshua into our house? Once upon a time, two days ago, most of us, all of us, right? Guess what? This is the Martha stage, which is so excited and busy running with this service and with that service. Oh God, I will, Yeshua, I will prepare coffee for you, and I will wash your disciples' feet, and I will go to the jail service, and I will go to worship. And I will, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled by many things. She picked the only one thing which will not be taken away from her. You know what was it? Sitting at his feet, or being intimate with him, that with no care for the cares of the world. This is where you get your nourishment. This is where you eat his flesh. This is where you drink his blood, so to speak. Not by running around like mouse, beloved. Not even by ministries, unless he does the ministry through you. Unless he walks to the jail with you and not you walk to the jail service for him. He doesn't need you. Beloved, I got it just lately. And there is a fine line between serving the Lord or let him serve through you. While you are an empty vessel, dying to self and say, not my will be done. Every day, but your will. I'm taking your cross. Whatever will happen, prosperity, I will bless you for the prosperity. Good, well-paid job, hallelujah, Abba, thank you. The valleys of the shadow of death, sickness, losing everything, I will praise you anyway. Because my treasure is in you, in heaven, and not in movies, watching hours and hours, hours upon hours, the stupid box, which can be also the computers, Facebook, Schmacebook, video games. Time is coming, time has come to be serious, beloved, because we are entering the very last, how do you say it, you know, in the stadium, when people run, the last round, quarter, okay. Last lap. Beloved, no time for games. The Lord told me, I think I shared it with you, every time I ask him for the theme of the teaching, speak about preparing. The bride needs to prepare herself for my coming. Let's not be caught by him saying to us, depart from me, I never knew you. Do we let him getting to know us? Do we let him in us? Are we Martha or Mary? Are we worried and troubled about many things? Do we have the one thing which will not be taken away from us that day? End of the three sessions, beloved. Thank you so much for your patience. And we will open it. It's okay. We will open it. Right? Still, we will open it. It's 8:30, but it's, you know, I'm the last evening. Tomorrow I'm leaving you, so take advantage, and if you want, you can ask whatever comes in your mind.
If you want to ask a question, raise your hand really high. Last night I had trouble seeing. You covered the entire thing so flawlessly, nobody has a question. Yes, Bob.
And by the way, I would like you, Greg, as the spiritual authority here. Greg, come here, please, before we start the questions and answers. Come and let's close with a prayer, and let's make kind of a covenant with God. Don't cheat yourself, and you don't need to impress anyone around you. If you are not ready, ask him that he will give you the grace to be ready, to renew the covenant with him, to really ask him for his grace to find him. Like in the Song of Songs, she looked for him. She ran in the streets, remember? We need to do our very best to find him, to spend this precious time with him. Because, friends, it's not your doctrine which will save you. It's not that you belong to Southwood, the non-denominational denomination church, or the Catholic church, or name it. Friends, it's whether or not Yeshua, our Lord, knew us. When you pray for me in your closet, pray that I will be known by Messiah. It's not enough to know how to speak. It's not enough to, okay? I do believe that he uses me, but he can use others also to perform miracles. This is not the most important. The most important is, am I known by him? And this is my desire. I am totally transparent. Why not? We are in a family, no? We should pray for one another. So pray for me. Pray for everybody here, I mean, as the Spirit leads you, and then we can open it today.
Okay. Let's bow our heads together, all right?
Just a second.
Heavenly Father, we do come before you this evening, and we acknowledge that you are the one who's great, and that you are good, and it is our great privilege to walk in your ways, to have learned from you, from your word. It is our desire, Lord, to know you more fully. But just as we want to know you, we long to be known by you. Mm-hmm. And our request, there's not one of us here in this room tonight, God, who would want anything other than to be known and recognized by you on that day when you return. We want you to call us by name. We want our names to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We want to live the life that you have called us to live in this part of the world faithfully. We want to walk in your ways. We want to honor you with the things that we say and do. We want to represent you well with the resources you've entrusted to us. We want you to be pleased. We recognize that on our own, that's impossible. So we thank you for your sacrifice, for your shed blood. And we know that through that, forgiveness can be ours. But we want to walk in obedience. We want to walk in holiness. We want to be in close fellowship with your Holy Spirit, led by you, doing things that are led and authorized by your Spirit, not things that are decided on by our judgment, because we think somehow we're going to help you with your plan. So we just come to you right now, and we just ask that you would guide us, that you would provide for us, that you would, in our weakness, you would reach out to us, that you would have mercy on every single one of us. We don't deserve that, but we know that you're good, and we ask, show us mercy. Provide for us. Help us to know what to do with the things that we've been learning these last few nights. Would you guide our steps? Help us to know how to relate differently to those around us. Help us to understand how to listen to the news differently. Help us to understand that a spiritual realm, which we don't see with our eyes, but is influencing the physical constantly. Help us to look beyond what we just see with our eyes and understand your ways, what's going on behind the scenes. And give us faith to walk in your steps, regardless of where you lead us, regardless of the consequences, knowing that everything around us is going to perish, but who we have in you will never perish. That can never be taken away from us, because all of this is yours, and we are yours. Father, I pray for my friend Rami. I ask that you would be with him and Gabby and their family. I ask that you would be with them as they are in Israel, as they're right in the crosshairs of missiles where they live, and that whole nation. I ask, God, that you would place your protection around them, that you would guide their steps, that you would help them to know exactly where to be and what to do and what to say throughout the days that are ahead. Thank you that we've had the privilege of sharing fellowship with him these last few nights. Pray that as he continues the next couple of weeks before he heads back, I ask, God, that you would anoint him with your strength and your wisdom and your power, that you would speak through him, that you would open hearts to what you have to say through your word and through the insights that you've given him, the unique experience of living in the land as he does. We just ask that you would anoint all of us with the same kind of wisdom and insight from your word that that you have given to so many in generations before. Help us, oh God, to be able to read your word, to grasp it, and give us faith to obey. Give us faith to obey in the days ahead. We want to be those who endure to the end, whether the end happens to be the end of a 70-year life or whether the end is nearer than we think. We want to be faithful. We want to be found faithful. Thank you for your goodness. We lift our lives and this time and the reflections of this evening to you. We lift this to you in the name of Jesus, amen. Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.
Okay, no questions.
All right. Questions, back to Bob.
Thank you very much, Rami, for this three nights. And I can tell you've put a lot of time into this. And I don't know that any of us here can grasp what it is you live with in Israel, having missiles pointed at you and that constant friction that's been going on for generations. My question is about the geography of that place. I look at...
About the what, sorry?
Geography. Geography. Israel and the city of Jerusalem in particular. We have seen in history that there have been times the Lord has allowed that entire territory to be taken from the Jews. Mm-hmm. Why do you believe now is the time that Jesus would come and stop that? Why is this not similar to the time of Nebuchadnezzar or the time of when Rome came in.
Okay.
You see what I'm asking you there?
Yeah. Good question. Number one, why is it now and not, let's say, I will take you by your words, Nebuchadnezzar. Because in Nebuchadnezzar time, there was a king, but he was not the king of kings. He was just a foreshadow. Okay? We spoke about, have you been in the other evenings? Yeah, we spoke about the foreshadows, yeah? Compared with the substance, etc., etc. Yeshua is all that the prophets, the Torah, point to, okay? He is the King of Kings. He came first time to buy for himself with his blood, precious blood, a kingdom, right? People. We spoke about who are those people, yeah? Israel, us, engrafted in, etc. He promised, answering the question of his disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, are you at this time restoring the kingdom to Israel? They meant not kingdom with Ezekiah as king, or another Josiah, good king. Yeah? No, Yeshua, you are the king. You are the substance. You're not the picture. You are the risen Christ. At this time, you're going to be our king? He said no. And we spoke about the concept of the kingdom. It cannot be established without the king being present, the land not defiled but occupied with the people. The two ingredients are now at hand since 63 years, okay? We have the people, we have the land, and the king is the only one that we are anticipating. And I believe that this is the time that the optimal fulfillment of scriptures is at hand. That's my conviction. I cannot say more than I said now. Yes.
Shmuel.
I'm standing here because of the light, so excuse me. But everybody can see me, right?
Yes. Well, your pastor was very kind to give me permission. If you would like to be on a tour with Rami, or if you've already been, you'd like to be on another one, we are hosting one, the Or HaOlam Messianic Congregation, December 4th through 14th, God willing. And go to our website. It's probably the easiest way to promote it. ORHAOLAM, orhaolam.com. And sign up. Hallelujah. How many want to go?
All right. More questions?
Yeah. Anyway?
Please. Yeah, my Gabi. She is a wise woman, so let her speak.
Thank you. No, I just would like to add to your answer something.
Please.
When the Lord brought his people back and still brings them back 63 years ago when the land was established, he brought back a secular people. He didn't bring us back. He didn't bring us back because we were a godly nation. We were a beaten up nation, and the Lord has brought us back to the land. But also I think about the dry bones in Ezekiel 37, where it's picked that first he will bring the dry bones together and he puts sinews and flesh on those bones, and after he will blow the spirit in. 2,000 years there were no people in the land, so I have big doubts to think he just brought us back for a few years to destroy us again.
It's Ezekiel 37.
And again, the king of Israel was already revealed. We have a king. He's the one ingredient missing now. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Somebody else? Question.
I hope this doesn't show that I missed the boat somewhere, but the you say we're grafted into the rich olive tree. Is every person grafted in, whether they know it or not, or just the ones that follow Jesus in it?
Only the ones who follow Yeshua.
Okay.
I said it more than once. The olive tree in the allegory that he used, picture, the olive tree is the remnant among Israel, not all Israel. It's the remnant who received Yeshua. It's the Israel of God, as Paul calls it.
Right. Thank you. I thought that's what it was.
Yeah. You are not grafted into all Israel. You are grafted into the elect among Israel. And together you belong to the Israel of God. Yeah. Or the commonwealth of Israel.
I too feel as though I might be asking a rather dumb question, but hopefully no questions are dumb.
Exactly. No questions.
Okay, so from what you understand, then as Jesus comes back in Israel, Revelation says that he would be seen in the clouds.
He is what?
He will be seen coming through the clouds.
Yeah, okay. Uh-huh.
He'll be the size of a man. The size of a man.
The size?
Size. Physical size. Bigness.
Yeah, of course. Why not?
Yes?
I mean, he was 40 days with his disciples.
Yes?
They ate fish together, barbecued together. And he had a glorious body, but still physical.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then, so you believe that this would be then the beginning of the millennial reign?
In my opinion, yes.
Yes.
We did not speak about, I have another seminar which speaks about the Feast of Israel.
Yes.
And God's prophetic time, the timetable as it is shown through the feasts. This is, if he invites me again, I will bring more. Mm-hmm. Another 3 sessions, because it's very deep, maybe more.
Yes.
Because we have 6 days of creation. And then a Sabbath day. It's all picture. It's almost mystical, yeah? The earth is yearning for the revelation of the sons of God. Why? Because all the earth is subdued to Satan, yeah? Against its will. And the earth, not only us, are waiting for the Sabbath peace on planet earth when he will be tied, this Satan, yeah?
Yes.
And not as influential as he is today.
Yes.
Okay.
And then one final question.
Yeah, so far, no dumb question, by the way.
Thank you. What do you feel about the talk about this 12th imam? Is he the Antichrist?
I don't share this view. Well, you need to invite me to some more. No, you need to invite somebody else. Maybe Brent will tell you this, yeah? Brent is a close friend of both of us, the one with the epic, yeah? I do not share the opinion or the opinions that, one, the Antichrist is a Jew, 2, the Antichrist is a Muslim. I do not, it's not, remember, I'm a Hebrew thinker, cyclical. I need to look where the Antichrists came out from. They came from the church, but they were not of the church. Actually, somebody that you know very well, for me, is a picture of if he is not the Antichrist himself, because he calls himself a Christian, well, he's actually not Christian. Sounds familiar. And if he is not the Antichrist, then for sure he's a big figure. He's like what my friend said, John the Baptist of the Antichrist, ushering the is coming. I do believe that the Antichrist is a fake believer. It's the pattern which John, the Epistle John, gives us. Why should I go into others? Messiah is here, Messiah is there. There are many doctrines. If it doesn't fit the biblical pattern, everything, nothing is new under the sun, bye-bye. And I believe that, by the way, Islam is the false prophet of Revelation 16. He is a false prophet, Muhammad. Let's call the baby by his name. There is the political order, which is, in my opinion, the resurrected Rome. Don't look at Rome, please. I'm talking global Rome, which is led by, I don't want to shock you, but maybe by the United States of America. My opinion, maybe I'm wrong. Okay, seeing you beautiful people, I really hope I'm wrong. Okay? No, I mean it. It's not you, it's the administration. It's not such a godly administration, neither the Israeli one. Neither most of the, I don't actually know a godly administration. Yeah, the political system is corrupt. I got sidetracked. I answered the question, right? Good. So it's enough. Somebody else.
I would add this. If you need to leave because we've gone long, please don't feel bad getting up and going, okay? So let me just say that.
There is a question over there. Yeah.
Rami, since it's... the intimate relationship with God is such an important element because we all look forward to the rapture. But if the only ones that are going to go are those who are known by God, and this concept of an intimate relationship is so important. From the Hebraic point of view, how does one have that intimate relationship with God?
I said, Martha, compared to Mary, you first and most, you need first to sit at his feet. You need to know his word. You know, how can you act godly if you don't know his word? I'm not talking just to general speaking. Yeah? To get to know him, to get to know his, to eat his word, to eat his flesh. You know, it became like a relic almost, the Lord's Supper. But it speaks about much deeper truth. Eat my flesh, drink my blood, yeah? It's not a ritual, whether it is celebrated in Passover or every Sunday. It's not a ritual. It speaks about much, much deeper truth, yeah? And to get serious, brother, I don't have a magic solution or magic answer for you. To get serious, stop stealing. Again, not you. Stop fornicating. Be serious. Don't read the word and then walk like, you know, like in a mirror, you know? Be doer of the word, like James says, yeah? And if you see that you don't have self-control, cry out to God. Or if you have other problems, like myself, yeah? Cry out to God. Don't give up. I'm speaking to myself. If you want, you can hear it. Cry out to God. Don't give up. Beat on his door. I hate what I do. I hate what I repeat. I hate this stronghold in my life. I don't know what to do. Hold on to his tie till he changes your name. I'm talking about this intimacy. It's not, you know, wow, you don't need to be a PhD or graduate of a Dallas theological seminar to know how to be intimate. Actually, some of the theological seminars can take you out because they indoctrinate you with some good stuff and some junk stuff. You need to be at his foot. There is now no shortcuts. That's my point. No magic solution or magic, receipt. Yes.
My question has to do with the temple. And we've seen two destroyed. And you mentioned the third will need to be destroyed. Do you see elements, literal physical elements of the temple that are ready to be constructed and built? And would you put a timetable?
If I know the timetable?
Well, I mean, does it look like it could be built in the next 10 years,
okay,
5 years?
I understand. Yeah, that's my opinion, by the way. It won't take more, but again, my opinion. Who am I? It's my opinion, my sense. I might be wrong with the timetable, you know. I sense that it's very close. Especially what's all going to happen soon in September, if you heard about it, declaration of Palestinian state, pushing Israel more even to the corner, delegitimizer, you know, this process which is continuing. Back to the temple. In Judaism, there are two, first of all, specifically, to your question before I sidetracked, everything is ready for the rebuilding of the temple. Everything. The menorah, the garments, the incense, which is, don't take it lightly, because the rabbis need to search how exactly, what are the receipts for to do the incense and all this, you know. So everything is ready. There is a place called Temple Institute in Jerusalem. They are responsible for the research, and also they are not just researching, they are practically taking steps. Red Afer, no problem, like many think. There is a farm in Texas. There are a few farms which can genetically can produce the red heifer, okay? But the red heifer needs to be 1 year old. So, you know, everything is ready, only two little obstacles, you know, stumbling blocks in the pagan shrines on the Temple Mount, yeah? The Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Dome of the Rock. But allow me to sidetrack because it's very important. There are two opinions, two schools within Judaism, and you are reading a Jewish book called the New Testament, yeah? It's a Jewish book. You cannot run away from it. Two Jewish schools, approaches concerning the rebuilding of the third temple. One says that we, human beings, with our own merit efforts, should strive to build the Temple Institute in Jerusalem, yeah? We, by our own hands, you know, should strive and wait for the opportunity and shoop, build it. And by the way, in order to resuming of the sacrifices, we do not need a temple. We need only the altar, only the outer court, the altar and the outer court, just for you to know. But of course, the Jews would like all the temple with its magnificent buildings, yeah? Rooms and sections. This is one school. Another school says, and I tend to hold to the other one. Okay? Don't stone me now. I tend to believe that the temple, and this is the other Jewish approach, will be descending from heaven with Messiah, with Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, down on the earthly Jerusalem. Like it was back in the Garden of Eden, where God, the spiritual, was harmonious, full harmony with his creation. Clear? With no separation, no sin. That's why we need Yeshua, second Adam, but no blah blah anymore. I hold to this, but now you can ask me, what about Second Thessalonians? What about the Antichrist who will sit in the temple and all this before Messiah comes, yeah? When you take the Greek term for a temple that Paul uses in his epistles, including Thessalonians, it is always referring to the temple of our heart. It's not a temple, physical temple. Check me. So I rather be careful and prepare myself to take any abomination that caused a desolation here and let God care for the rest. Judge myself and not care for what the world does. Let God judge the world. Now, it does not mean that I, who hold to this school of, you know, rabbinical school, it doesn't mean that we are right. Again, I don't know. But I don't bother myself with this temple so much. I want to be bothered with this temple. Okay? And pray for me. Yes, let's pray for each other. We need to cleanse this Israel, this land, this temple.